You know, it's tragic so few people know the real reason we celebrate Easter. But it's 100 times more tragic. There are unclaimed benefits from Easter that can improve the quality of people's lives right now and the destination of where they'll spend eternity in the hereafter. New York Times carried a true story a few years ago about Curtis Loftus. He's the state treasurer for the state of South Carolina. It's his job to return unclaimed money to their rightful owners. Well, a few years ago, Curtis called a young man in South Carolina on the phone, told him he had over $750,000 of money he needed to claim. Well, naturally, this young man, probably being like I am, thought it was a scam, but it was the real deal. Seems the man's mother had remarried and his father had died, and because of confusion about the son's last name, the money was never sent to him. It was escrowed into a lawyer's bank account and went unclaimed for years. But never fear, state treasurer Curtis Loftus set out to track down the rightful owners. In his own words, no one on the planet believes they have money just waiting on them. But Mr. Loftus, who's also the president of the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators, he found another relative of the young man who'd passed away in South Carolina. The man's last name appeared on a relative's tombstone, used Facebook to find the young man, and of course the young man was skeptical. And Mr. Loftus called him and said he had $750,000 of unclaimed cash with his name on it. Well, now we don't know who the young man is because he's chosen to remain anonymous. It's amazing what $750,000 will do. Took multiple conversations and phone calls to convince the young man it was real. Mr. Loftus offered to meet him at Starbucks to prove it was real. Imagine how the young man felt when Mr. Loftus presented him a check for $763,000. Mr. Loftus said South Carolina has over $500 million of unclaimed cash. New York has $14.5 billion. California, $8.5 billion. Florida has over $2 billion of unclaimed cash. $43 billion of unclaimed money in U.S. comes from inactive bank accounts, uncashed checks, neglected utility deposits, and insurance refunds. Mr. Loftus said he's currently looking for the owners of a closed textile mill in South Carolina who are owed $985,000. If you used to own a textile mill in South Carolina, you might want to listen. Now, most unclaimed refunds are only about $100. But imagine having unclaimed money you didn't know about. In Florida, the Department of Financial Services, 200 East Gaines Street, Tallahassee, zip code 32399, manages these unclaimed refunds. They have a website where you can type in your full name and address, see if you have any unclaimed money. Now, for what it's worth, department, I plugged in a few church members' names to see if our church members had any unclaimed refunds. And while I didn't personally, I checked most all 50 states just to make sure. Anyway, I did find a husband and wife who were active members of Scott Lake Baptist Church with unclaimed moolah waiting on them, and all they have to do is go online, fill out a form, and claim it. Do you want to know who these members are? You don't want to know? Okay, I'll just go on with the sermon then. I'll tell you in a few minutes. Unclaimed money is one thing. The unclaimed benefits of the resurrection are something else. And on this Sunday after Passover, like that first one, we know that six women left their homes in sadness and despair, and they were about to cash in on the greatest unclaimed benefits of all history. They were about to see Jesus alive and experience resurrection life. Walking to the tomb on a morning like this, their solemnity was shaken by an earthquake. And looking up, they saw a man wearing bright, white, dazzling electric clothing unlike anything they'd ever seen before. As the women fell to the ground in terror, the angel said, "Stop being afraid, for I know you're seeking Jesus who's been crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." And suddenly everything changed. Enter resurrection life. The resurrection event is recorded for us in the four Gospels, but the explanation of how we experience resurrection was given here to Martha in John 11:25-26. It's not enough to know that we celebrate Easter and why we celebrate it. We need to know how to personally experience Easter's resurrection life in our lives, so the benefits of resurrection will not go unclaimed in our lives. Three steps to having resurrection life. Here they are. First of all, you must believe in the person of life. the person of life. John 11, 25, first phrase, Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, Martha's brother Lazarus had been sick. Martha's brother Lazarus had died. Even believers get sick and die. Through frustration and pain, Martha said, Lord, if you'd only gotten here in time, our brother would not have died. Jesus said, Martha, your brother will rise again. She said, oh, I know Daniel 12, 2, he'll rise again on the last day. But it wasn't just that. See, Martha was not clear about who Jesus was and what he could do for her and him right now. She was confused about Christ's resurrection power, that Jesus could raise Lazarus and change her life right then. It's sad so few people know why we celebrate Easter. It's sadder there are those who know why we celebrate it, but they've not yet personally received Jesus or his resurrection life in their lives. Maybe like Martha, they don't really understand who Jesus is and what power he has. Before he died, Beatle John Lennon said, I believe that Jesus, Muhammad, and Buddha were good people. And by the way, somebody who claimed to be God and wasn't a good person, if they weren't, but he was, so he is. The Dalai Lama said Jesus is an enlightened person. Mahatma Gandhi said Jesus was an innocent man who became a good example in dying for others. Atheist Richard Dawkins said Jesus was a symbolic myth. Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard said Jesus was a good teacher. Islam says in the Quran that Jesus was only a prophet. Jewish rabbis believe Jesus was a man who was executed and given divine status by Christians. Oh, friend, listen. The historical event we celebrate today proves that cannot be true. Ordinary people and good teachers don't rise from the dead. Martha was correct in assuming, verse 27, Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, but she'd not yet let that make a difference in her life. It was just a religious fact. And maybe your faith is for you just a religious fact rolling around up in your brain. You doubt who he is, you doubt what he can do, and even though Jesus claims to be the resurrection and the life and he rose on Easter Sunday, you still worry about death. And you hesitate really to take a stand for him and be sold out, all in, 100% committed. Listen, the person who's the source of life is Jesus. The person who's the giver of life is Jesus. And since Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus at any point of decomposition, 4 days, 4 centuries, 4 millennia, and since he raised the widow's son, calmed the stormy sea, raised Jairus' daughter, made blind eyes see, created food for 5,000 men and their families, walked on water, restored a severed ear, isn't that cool, healed 10 lepers, he not only had the power to raise Lazarus after he'd been dead 4 days, he has the power to raise our bodies from the dead after we die. And he has the power to give us a different quality of life while we live. Jesus has the power of God himself. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that phrase, I am, ego I me, means I am God. It's amazing how they would always pick up stones to stone Jesus after he claimed to be God. They got it. And I want you to know Jesus has the power not only to bring these bodies back from the dead, he has the power to change the quality of our lives right now. The quality of your life is not determined by what you have or what you achieve. Understand that. But the quality of your life is determined by the peace you have with God because you know your sins are forgiven and heaven is your final destination. Elon Musk has been a lot in the news this past week. Elon Musk is the world's richest man, worth $282 billion. That's over $100 billion more than Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon. Elon Musk started PayPal. He started Tesla. He started SpaceX. He is the real figure behind the character Tony Stark in Iron Man. Did you know that? He told Babylon Bee he agrees with the teachings of Jesus, love your neighbor and turn the other cheek. But he says he's an agnostic. And he said, I believe in the God of Spinoza, which means not a personal God, but simply the laws of natural science. So is the world's richest, most famous man happy without God and happy without Jesus in his heart? Well, do we find the answer in the fact he's had multiple relationships? In an interview at the CodeCon Tech conference, he said people ought to be open to taking hallucinogens. The Bible tells us in Psalm 17 and Psalm 73, the men of this world have their portion in this life, and they're always at ease, increased in wealth, and they don't seem to suffer like other people. But it's not until we get the eternal view and perceive their end, we understand God has set them in slippery places and how they'll be cast down to destruction and destroyed in a moment. Oh, friend, listen, the quality of our lives is not determined by what we have, but by whom we have and who has us. And if you have Jesus, the person of life, in your heart, you'll be much happier, and the quality of your life will be much better than if you don't. Happiness is not determined by how many zeros you have after the number in your bank account. Happiness is determined by how well you can sleep when you realize you're living a timed existence and time is fast running out. You might think Elon Musk is his greatest hope is science. That's what he thinks. That's what he believes. Science can't help you after you die. Science can't make you right with God. Science can't give you inner peace and joy that comes from knowing there's more to come beyond the sunset. The same Jesus who rose in Jerusalem 1,992 years ago today, give or take a year, he's the same Jesus who spoke these words, "I am the resurrection and the life." Ours is a world in desperate need of the life of Jesus. People are being bombed in Ukraine, starved in Shanghai, shot in subways in Brooklyn. We see a world in need of the person of life whose resurrection from the dead can change their lives. It's not enough just to know Jesus rose from the dead. We have to be changed by his resurrection life. See, those guards knew Jesus rose from the dead. They saw the angels. They felt the earthquake. The chief priests knew Jesus rose from the dead. That's why they paid the guards to say the disciples came and stole the body by night while you slept. The question was, whose life was changed by the resurrection of Jesus? And it wasn't the guards and it wasn't the chief priest. It wasn't just those who agreed. It's those whose lives have been changed by the resurrection. Let me ask you this question. Friend, listen, honest question today. Has your life been changed by the resurrection of Jesus? It's not enough to know the benefits are available. They got to be claimed. They got to be claimed. Kathy Boone grew up in Portland, Oregon. When her parents separated, she lived with her mother in Astoria, Oregon. She suffered from drug and mental health issues, serious issues, so much so she became homeless. For 5 years, Kathy Boone lived a homeless life on the streets of Astoria. And she died in 2021 on the streets. Her parents both died as she was homeless, while she was homeless. They never found out she died. The money from the inheritance they left her was transferred to an Oregon bank account, and there the money sat and stayed. The Oregon Department of State Lands tried to find Kathy, but they couldn't find her until after she died. And sadly, she died before receiving the $884,000 the state was holding in escrow for her. Now, two of her biological children have come forward trying to claim the money. But how sad that she died before she could claim the benefit, right? She died before she could claim the benefit. Today, Jesus rose from the dead. The benefits of his resurrection are available. The issue is, will you claim them or miss them? That's the issue. The person of life. Number two, the pathway to life. The pathway. Verse 25. Jesus said, second phrase, "He who believes in me shall live even if he dies." Friend, this is how we claim the benefits of Christ's resurrection. Jesus said, the believing one shall live even if he or she dies. The pathway to claiming the benefits is found in the one word, believe. And it could be translated, be persuaded of, entrust to, commit to. Believe in the New Testament sense is a conviction so compelling and strong, you act on it and entrust yourself to it. A few weeks ago, Jamie and I were in Publix, and there was a lady giving away free sub sandwich samples. Don't you love free samples? Free makes the food taste better. I don't know why, but it does. I said, "What kind of subs are those?" She said, "Those are jalapeno popper subs." Now, she could have said sardine and onion, and I would have tried one. But I love samples. Anyway, anytime somebody offers you a free sample, you have a split second to make a decision. Not just do I want one, but are they safe? Have they been out a long time? You know, the old microbiologist starts to kick in. Have they been out a long time? Would the mayonnaise have spoiled? Are they using gloves? Anybody breathing on it? You know all those things you think about. And at some point in this decision of do you want a sample, you have to take your thinking to a conviction that acts. Are you with me? A conviction that acts. You have to say, okay, I'm going to kick it up a notch. I would love a sample. Thank you. And then you have to eat the sample, and I did. And it was one of the best sub samples I've ever had in my life. It was smoked ham with some jalapeno cheese or something on it. Man, it was great. Now, for the record, they need to put the subs you buy for sale next to the sample place. I said, Jamie, where are those things? Man, those are awesome. I couldn't find them. But I wouldn't have known it had I not acted on my faith. It's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. We have to take that conviction to the next level. We got to kick it up a notch and say, okay, Jesus, you come into my heart and life. You take control. You take charge starting right now. And whatever your word tells me to do, I'm going to do it now. However your word tells me to live, I'm going to live that way now. The word believe does not mean agree or think or nod in affable affirmation. Thomas didn't recognize Jesus as being the risen Lord by nodding or agreeing or by thinking. The Bible says in John 20:28, he fell on his face and said, my Lord and my God. And history tells us, tradition tells us, he went on to die a martyr's death in India for preaching the gospel to Hindus. You must believe in Jesus by the biblical definition of the word believe, not the intellectual assent definition. I believe the grass is green, the sky is blue, la-di-da, la-di-da, okay? No, not that kind of belief. I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross and rose from the grave, and I believe that's going to change my life. And whenever you look in the Bible and people believed by the biblical sense, their lives were radically changed. Acts 4:32, the multitude of them that believed were one heart and soul, and they gave their possessions if anyone had a need. Acts 8:12, some women and men believed and they were baptized. That was a break from the old way of life. That was a radical thing for people to do in the first century. Acts 18:8, when Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord, he was baptized. That means he gave up his job as the chief ruler of the synagogue. It cost him his position, his income, former friends, family, respect in the community. He didn't just nod his head and say, yeah, I believe, and that was the end of it. Oh, no. No. His conviction compelled him to make radical changes in his life, reflecting a new lifestyle. The Philippian jailer's belief that Jesus was the risen Lord and Savior prompted him to bring Paul and Silas to his home, feed them a meal, wash their wounds. Acts 19:18, I love this one. That many Jews and Greeks in Ephesus believed, and their belief compelled them to do something. What something? They came confessing, disclosing their practices, and burning their magic books. Man, you talk about into the former life. It's a new life. And that demonstrated a new way of life. A new way of life. Let those words just kind of sink into your heart. A new way of life. A new way of life. Biblical faith is a conviction that causes you to have a new way of life. Or else it's not biblical faith. So the pathway to life and claiming the benefits of Christ's resurrection is a conviction that changes your actions and a faith that changes your life. Jesus said, he who believes in me shall live even when they die. New quality of life in the here and now, new destiny of eternity in the hereafter. Have you claimed the resurrection in your life, or do you need to claim it today? Do you need to claim it today? We're going to have an invitation in just a few moments. Man, today's your day. No better day in the whole universe than Easter Sunday to do what God wants you to do and experience resurrection life in your life. Number three, pathway to life. Person of life, pathway to life. Number three, the promise of life. Here's the promise. I love it. Verse 26. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, all those who heard Jesus speak these words physically died. Mary, Martha, Lazarus died a second time. But all who heard Jesus speak these words and believed in him, by the biblical definition, they are alive spiritually as I speak right now, this moment. John 5:24, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death and the life. Someone said, if you're born once, physically, you'll die twice, physically and spiritually. But if you're born twice, physically and spiritually, you'll die once, physically. Those who believe in Jesus will never die spiritually. Because when we believe, by the biblical definition of the word believe, that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior, we're born again and we pass from death unto life. Oh, that's good stuff. We get a new quality of life now and a new destiny for eternity later. And if you're a believer in Christ, the quality of your life will be better than Elon Musk's. What did I say? I said, if you are a believer in Christ, the quality of your life will be better than Elon Musk's. Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God? He doesn't have that. But you can have it starting today when you call on Jesus to save you right now. Well, preacher, why do I need saving? What's all that mean? Well, you know, one sin is all that it takes to separate us from God. If I offered you a glass of Coke or ginger ale or Mountain Dew Pepsi, whatever it was, and I just put one little drop of diphtheria in it, would you drink it with one drop of diphtheria and say no? Likewise, we can't go to heaven with just one sin. And James 2:10 says that if we've broken one commandment, and we all have, we're guilty as if we've broken all 10 commandments. So that trying to get to heaven by the good law-keeping, commandment-keeping way is off the table. But here's the good news. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He was what? Raised the third day according to the Scriptures, and then seen above over 500 people at one time. Christ was delivered up for our transgressions and raised again for our justification. Jesus rose on Easter Sunday to prove He has the authority to forgive us our sins and take us to heaven. Everyone who lives and believes in Jesus shall never die. Never die. We're the Never Die Club. We'll die physically, but not spiritually. Benefits are available. They're available, but they won't do you any good unless you claim them. And you claim them by asking Jesus to save you because you believe He's the risen Lord and Savior. In Florida, the Department of Financial Services, 200 East Gaines Street, Tallahassee, zip code 32399, manages unclaimed refunds. They have a website where you can type in your name and see if you have any unclaimed refunds. I plugged in a few church members' names to see if our church members had unclaimed refunds. Chuck, I even put yours in. Sorry, brother, we're out. I checked the whole USA for you and me, brother. I checked us all. We don't have any. There's a lot of Charles Schwartz's, but There's some Darren Cresses out there. God rest their soul, right? We didn't have any. I did, however, find a husband and wife who are active members of our church who have unclaimed money to claim. And I got the permission to share this. Adam and Kim Roberts. And I left the information on their lectern how they can claim their money. They owe me a hamburger, don't they? What about you, friend? Isn't it time today that you believed in Jesus in a way that'll radically, fanatically, dramatically change your life? Isn't today that day for you? Isn't it time to claim the benefits of the resurrection? It's tragic, tragic, as we saw in that video. So few people know the real reason we celebrate Easter. But it's more tragic. There's unclaimed benefits from Easter that can change your life, not just now, but forever and ever. See, today's not just the first day of the rest of your life. Today's the first day of the rest of your eternity. And now is the day and the time to claim what Jesus died to pay for and rose to provide. Jesus was delivered up for our transgressions and raised again for our justification. What He died to provide is on the table. Don't let it go unclaimed. Claim what He died to pay for you. Salvation is a free gift. Can't be earned. It can't be deserved. But you got to claim it and call on Him to save you. Let's pray. If you're here this morning, dear friend, and you've never invited Jesus to save you and you've never experienced the new birth, Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You can call on Jesus to save you silently where no one around you hears. Silently you can pray, "Dear Lord Jesus," go ahead and pray if you've never called on Jesus to save you silently. "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for my sins on that first Good Friday on that old rugged cross. Lord Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. And I believe you can forgive my sins. And I want to ask you to save me now. I turn from my sins and I trust in Jesus and what he did right now." With every head bowed and every eye closed, will there be one with the courage to raise their hand? Nobody's looking, just me. Say, "Pastor, I prayed and asked Jesus in my heart with you just now, and I meant it from my innermost being." Would there be one? Would there be one? Maybe you're here this morning, friend, and you're a Christian, but you might have to admit to the Lord, "Lord, I know I'm saved. I remember. I know I've called on you to save me, but I need to be more committed. God, help me to be more committed, more faithful. Help me to be like Thomas, whether I do whatever for a vocation, but God, I'll be a faithful, committed, on fire, sold out, all in, committed believer for you. Help me to do that starting today." If you pray that and mean it, Christian, God will help you. It's recommitting your life to Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a church home and you believe Scott Lake is where God wants you. I pray God will give you the courage to know and the wisdom to come and be a part of our family. We'd love to have you. Father, thank you for the awesome privilege of sharing as your ambassador the good news of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you died to pay for and provide all that we have and all that we need pertaining to life and godliness and eternity in heaven. I pray for this invitation now, Lord. I pray that every one of us here would surrender all. For those that have a decision to make, commitment to make, salvation, baptism, rededication, church membership, whatever it might be, that you tug at our hearts. And we would do what it is you want us to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll be standing at the front this morning. We're going to sing hymn 275, "I Surrender All." If you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, you're not a fully sold out, fully committed follower of Christ, today's your day. I will wait for you right here. You come if you need to respond and receive Christ. Let's stand together. I'll wait for you. Come on, right now. Sing one last verse. Again, if you need to come on right now. Don't leave the resurrection changed life unclaimed. You claim it for your life. Live a fully committed, radical life for Jesus. We don't have much time left. There's not much runway left. Let's be honest for all of us here today. You got to make the time count. Make it count. Make your life count for Jesus. Think about what you're singing. Last verse. Come if you need to respond right now. again. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. I love Easter Sunday. Don't you love Easter? You know, for the Christian, every Sunday ought to be Easter. I just think every Sunday we ought to be excited about the resurrection of Jesus every single day we live, every single breath we breathe. It's a great day, and I'm glad you're here today. If you're here, you're not a member of Scott Lake, and you want some information about the church, we have information membership packets on the at the tables. Take one with you. There's good stuff in there. And what else? Okay, if you're a first-time guest and you got a guest contact card, we got a gift for you as you're leaving. I'll give it to you personally as you're exiting. I'll be at the back today. I want to thank you for coming. But no service tonight, but Wednesday night we'll be resuming our study in 1 Thessalonians at 6:30 this Wednesday night. A lot of stuff's coming up on the calendar. Next Sunday night is a birthday party for everybody, all of our members, 90 and up. But for us to recognize you, guess what you got to confess? I'm 90 and up. The good news is, even if you don't confess you're 90 and up, we still got cake and ice cream and sub sandwiches and good stuff next Sunday night. Next Sunday night, all right? Thank you for being here today. Brother Allen, would you mind to thank the Lord for the privilege we have of giving as an act of worship back to Him? And I will welcome you as you're leaving today. God bless you.
As Billy Graham said in that opening monologue today, the greatest good news the world has ever heard, can ever hear, is He is not here, for He has risen. He is alive. And today, we can celebrate that. We can rejoice in that. We can come and give praise and glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Let's do that as we continue our worship outside today, as we continue the worship in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces. Go to the Lord in prayer with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You right now for Your grace, Your mercy, Your love. Thank You so much for sending Jesus. Not only that He died, but that He rose again for us, on our behalf. Lord, it's just beyond our comprehension how He could do that, why He would do that. But He did. And we acknowledge that, we confess that, and we claim today our benefits of Your resurrection. Bless us as we go. Bless us as we give. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.